Duffy's Beer presents the morning show on Trib Live Radio featuring Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and Tim Benz. 294 Curry Hollow Road, 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com.
We're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. And we'll never, ever, 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 ever leave each other.
The Trib Live Radio Triple Threat. Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and now Tim Benz right here on Trib Live Radio.
We've got football games that matter this weekend, guys. Pitt and Virginia Tech open up ACC play. Joining us to talk about it, former Pitt quarterback and now radio analyst extraordinaire Pat Bostic from over at the Pitt campus. How are you, Pat?
Doing good, fellas. How you doing?
Pretty good. What kind of weather forecast are you seeing for this game, and how do you think it might affect things down there?
Looking like it's going to be a deluge, so I'll be dry, so I'm happy about that. But I think it's going to be another game like Akron, probably. Hopefully it keeps going east, I guess, and misses, but it's going to be a wet track. We know that. So guys are getting ready for it this week with wet footballs and so forth. So it'll be interesting. Just got to try to put the distraction away as you can.
Hey, Pat, who in the ACC have you seen so far that has impressed you more than you anticipated? Is there anybody that stepped up and said, oh, wow, that team might actually be better than we thought?
Duke. I think Duke has come out and taken care of business. You know, I don't know if Georgia Tech, you know, it's one or the other, right? Is Georgia Tech not what we thought they'd be, or is Duke what they better than what we thought they'd be in terms of that game last week? But David Cutcliffe's a heck of a coach. Thomas Sirk, their quarterback, you know, we saw him play last year. He's more of a runner and it seems to still be that way. They're running the football better, playing better defense, and no one really picked them to be as successful as they've been so far. So I got to say Duke's exceeded my expectations thus far.
Pat, what do you think of Nate Peterman's play to this point? And, I mean, there's any position on the team, a guy can replace another guy if he's playing better. But at quarterback, it sometimes can cause, you know, a rift or hard fit quarterback. You don't have left tackle controversies. How do you think the transition has gone? Has the team accepted it? You know, what's Vojtěch's attitude been like?
Yeah, I think they both knew coming into the year that, you know, there was going to be a battle. Both of them are level-headed kids. They're good friends. You know, I've been in rooms before, quarterback situations where you're competing. And, you know, if you have your eye on, it's easy to say this, obviously, but if you have your eye on the team's success, it's easier to deal with. You still got to prepare like you're playing. Chad's going to have a role. I think he's handled it with class and grace. And I think Nate has as well. You can't really assume anything. He'd go out and not play well, and Chad comes in and plays well, and then we're talking about it again. So it's just a matter of taking care of business. I think both guys have done that and are, you know, right where they should be. You know, I think Nate just played better, and he showed a better ability to throw the football, which is what Pitt's had to do, and I think will continue to have to do even better if they're going to compete for the Coastal.
Pat, they go out to Virginia Tech. I'm talking about here. Virginia Tech goes out to Purdue, wins 51-24. You know, they got down big against Ohio State, hung around for a while. Gave for a while anyway a representative effort. Then they lose to East Carolina 35-28. I mean, ECU makes a living on picking off these, you know, top five power conference schools at least one a year, it feels like. What should we make of where the Hokies are as they come into the Pitt game? Are they even more of a mystery than what the Panthers are?
Yeah, I think they're a mystery. I think that, you know, when you look at the stats, though, Tim, there's no mystery. I mean, they're plus seven in turnovers. They were only plus one against ECU. They have lived and died on creating turnovers and protecting the football. The quarterback situation they got with Motley in there, a little more of a runner. So, you know, they're running the football a little bit better. But, you know, they lost to ECU last year as well. And, you know, we played them in years where they beat Ohio State and come in and, you know, we beat them, you know, at Heinz Field a couple years back. So it's always interesting early in the year to try to predict who someone is. It's tough. I think they're still finding out who they are. I know one thing, though. They're opportunistic on defense. They come after you, and if you don't protect the ball, they'll eat you alive.
Conference play changes everything. Do you, because there's still Big East rival carryovers too, Pat? Is this even a, you know, the few teams that went to the ACC from the Big East? Does that, do you think, remain a little bit of a bigger asterisk on the schedule because of that?
No doubt. I mean, you know, you got a team like Syracuse, who you played, you know, every year for, you know, 55 plus years, and you know, you're used to going there. You know, Virginia Tech, there's history. You know, the past, I guess since 2012, you've played them. So, you know, anytime you have a long-standing back and forth, you know, your recruits are used to seeing you play those teams. They come in and kind of adopt that rivalry as their own. So I think that's good. That's been good for the transition to the ACC. And then you create new ones with a team like Duke that you can't seem to get away from a one-point game. So, you know, the carryover rivalries are great. And that's certainly been helpful in terms of transitioning and creating a new, you know, rivalry atmosphere, I guess, for our fans to kind of latch on to.
Pat Bostic, our guest, former Pitt quarterback and radio analyst here on Trib Life Radio. What's the state of Pitt's running game, Pat, if this is a deluge and they need to pound the football? We saw Darren Hall and Quadri Olison mixing up time in Iowa. Who's going to be their number one, and how's the run game in general?
Yeah, I think they're still figuring out what they've got and who they are. I mean, last year they were a power team, you know, top 20 run offense in the country. This year they sprinkled in some more shotgun and pistol, especially with Chad in there. I'd be surprised if I didn't see them go back to the eye more. Pat Narduzzi has said they're going to use the hot hand. You got to give guys at bats and runs and attempts if you're going to find the hot hand. So I think early in this football game, you're going to see more power, more downhill runs. I think they're better at that. We'll see if they found that out watching their self-scout. You take a look at your run plays and a by play, what your efficiency is. And, you know, just from my untrained eye, I guess, from the booth, you know, they seem to be better when they're running down at people, downhill at people. So I'd like to see some more of that in their run game, and I'd like to see Olison and Chris James get some more touches. I know they said, you know, too, that they're going to play the guy that practices better, and Darren Hall seemed to be that guy against Iowa. I'd be shocked to not see more 37-5, though, against Virginia Tech.
Did you watch much of the East Carolina Virginia Tech film, and did they beat them mostly by running on them?
Yeah, they beat him through the air and on the ground. You know, I think they ran the ball effectively. Their quarterback can run a little bit. So, you know, it was a balanced attack. Again, they didn't lose the turnover battle. They were down East Carolina was down 14-0 early because of two turnovers, and then really dominated the football game from then on out. So it was a combination of both. I think you got to be balanced against the Bud Foster defense, or, again, they'll come after you.
Before we let you go, Pat, we got to get your take on this. Tim was giving me the business because I called Iowa a moral victory loss. Tim didn't like that. You do have the trained eye. You were there and you watched it. What'd you think? Moral victory?
Yeah, I don't like the word moral victory. I think you take a lot from it. I think you take a lot from it positively. You also take some things negatively from it. You know, you kick a ball down at the 4-yard line and let the guy come out to the 30. You have a chance to stop them. You know, you had a chance to get a third down conversion earlier in the fourth quarter. You don't get it. So there's equal parts positive and negative to find from that game, competing, coming back, and scratching back against a good football team. But there's no moral victories, you know. I think you walk away from that game thinking you let one slip away.
I agree with you 99%. I would say that hosting LSU with your fifth-string quarterback and making it a game in the fourth quarter, that qualifies as a moral victory.
Oh, my God.
No doubt.
I got Pat two for two on these.
Jeez. Yeah, Tim, I'm just welcoming you. I'm welcoming you back to Pittsburgh, Tim.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, Pat.
All right,
thank you,
fellas. Thanks a lot.
That's Pat Bostic, who is the director of development for the Pittsburgh Panthers, as well as their former quarterback and radio analyst.
Oh, I didn't know he's director of development.
Director of development.
That's like a legitimate job.
I know.
That's how you get the money and scrub the money. That's a big job.
What do you mean you get the money and you scrub the money?
Well, you're director of development.
That sounds like a laundering thing.
Yes, it is. Director of development. That's an important, don't you think? That's a big time title.
Sounds good to me.
If you're director of development, that means you are the fundraiser, and you have to funnel all the money from point A to point B to point C until all of a sudden you get the Peterson Event Center. That's a big-time deal. I'm not saying Bagman. Bagman is the guy who pays the players.
Okay.
You scrub the money to you know, make sure everything gets to the right place. Director of development is a very important job. I didn't know he had that gig.
What is the spread on that game?
Pitt 4.5.
Tech. Boy.
Oh, ours is 5.5.
Kendall Fuller was their big corner. He's been out.
He got hurt in practice this week, didn't he?
Yeah.
See, and I meant last year, if I'm not mistaken, Pitt ran all over them. But it was Connor and Wojtek that was doing most of the running, and neither of them are playing. Well, we don't know about Wojtek or how much he'll play.
Right. They lost 19-9 the one year down there. It was 2 years ago.
That Pitt's beaten them five out of the last six times.
It's the tough one, though. If it's going to be rain and they're figuring themselves out identity-wise on offense, it's a tough pick of Pitt. Well, that'll be tomorrow. We'll pick Pork tomorrow.
Wait a minute, hold on for a second. We're picking Pork tomorrow, but we have the Steelers game today?
Well, I've got to pick the Steelers game.
We'll do that in advance?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
We're not picking Penn State due to poor taste. Why are they playing Army at all? How did this game get scheduled this late in the year?
Hold on for a second. Why are we blowing off this one, but we've done all their other bad games? We did San Diego State. Why are we not doing Penn State this week? We have something against picking against the military academies? Is that what you mean by bad taste? What does that talk?
I don't pick the games, but it just wasn't on my list. The line was off the board for a while.
Well, we knew that. Today's the first day I've seen a line.
What is it?
Penn State favored by 25. Both the Penn State starting two running backs are out, and it's going to pour down rain there too. And the way I'll tell you right now, I would take Army in their triple option and the 25 points in a heartbeat if the game was on the list.
Okay.
They played Army a million times over the years. Pitt plays Navy. I mean, what's the big deal? I don't get it.
It's just we should be into conference play by now or games.
They already played a conference game 2 weeks ago.
They already played Rutgers.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
what do you mean?
I don't like the fact that they're in the conference either, but they're in the conference.
They played a conference game, their third game of the year.
I'm ready to go. We got West Virginia, Oklahoma.
Oh, you're ready to go. Well, hold on. Let me call Sandy Barber and make sure she develops a schedule that fits when Ken Laird is ready to go.
Oh, yeah, because I'm the only one that's upset to have to watch Penn State Army or not watch Penn State Army or not pick it. If you're telling me the 111,000 you're promising are going to be jacked up for that 25-point spread game?
I'm not promising not in that rain. It's sold out, though.
Well, some other teams have kind of squeezed in a conference game early. I mean, Syracuse got Wake, I know, in week two before they had their mighty moral victory against LSU. Mm-hmm. Then they went back to Central Michigan in between.
Yeah, by this point, we should be rolling, not having to deal with it.
Well, they already played a conference game, you idiot, when other teams didn't. They play as many conference games as everybody else.
What they should be doing now.
They played one earlier for your enjoyment. So the 2 weeks ago, you could have said, oh, boy, I'm not ready yet, but I get to watch a conference game this week.
I'm sorry. That wasn't very enjoyable to me. Rutgers, Penn State.
They should be playing Pitt right now instead of Army. They should be playing West Virginia right
now
instead of Army.
There you go. I agree with that.
All right. It's not – I can't get
– Well, that's what I mean.
Guy makes a point. They already have had their conference game. It just happened to break this way. I don't know why teams do it this way, but they do it.
They do it this way because Rutgers was scheduled as a non-conference game before they joined the Big Ten.
Okay, but they've already played Buffalo, San Diego State, Temple, and now they're playing Army. So four of the first 5 weeks are clunkers.
Well, I don't have a problem with them having another non-conference game here. That's kind of the – you know – the situation that they're in based on how the conference decides to do its own scheduling. I just would prefer that the team be a better team than Army. You know, they have the opportunity to play better teams. You know, they're local regional teams that they're not playing anymore. They even tried to do one of those against Temple, I guess. But, you know, if it's not West Virginia or
Pitt. How is Temple a clunker? Temple was bowl eligible last year, and Temple beat them.
Well, that was fun.
See, you're just being an ass.
No, we're on the same page. Nobody wants to watch.
We've had this discussion 9 million times, but you're going to
schedule better.
You're going to pick on Penn State. You wanted to watch Pitt Youngstown State. Where was your bitching
it's
then?
Everybody, I'm not just bitching about Penn State.
You homer.
It's everybody. I'm not homer. I didn't go to Pitt. I don't care about these.
No,
teams
but you're
anything.
Working in Pittsburgh, and you don't have a football team at your school, so you got to pick somebody. So you pick the home team.
Does Northeastern has a football team? Don't they?
We canceled football.
You don't have any football?
No football.
We were
1AA for a while. Then they
I can't believe that. I'm sitting here. I'm ready
Title
to go.
Nine
I'm ready to watch
this.
Northeastern football, and they don't even have a team anymore.
Just stop it. I'm so disappointed. Just stop it.
Now, here's an idea.
We put our energy into basketball, which we're better than Penn State there. So
hold on for a second.
Well, if it was a sport I cared about, I'd be upset. Let's play hockey.
Why didn't you let the girls play on your football team? You would have solved the Title IX problem. Let the girls play. And then you can come to Pitt and be their opening opponent instead of Youngstown State.
Sports talk at Triple
F. You just said yesterday the best sporting event you ever saw in your life, as far as like a fan enjoyment point of view, was last year when Northeastern played Notre Dame at the Consol Energy Center, right?
Yeah, I've lost my fandom for the other sports teams.
So think about how great it would be to see the girls of Northeastern play with the boys, come to Pitt, and hang within 21 points.
Is that what we're going to get with Army and Penn State? Is that a?
I don't know if there are any female cadets that are out there, female Black Knights.
Yeah, where was all this talk when Pitt was playing Akron while Penn State was playing a conference game? You didn't say a word.
I didn't like it either. Yes, I did.
I didn't hear it.
It's because you don't listen to me, especially when it's Pitt that's discussed. You close your ears. Four horsemen.
That's been happening to a lot of people on radio when people have been talking about Pitt over the years. Their ears just get closed or they put on music.
I think this Pitt team can win 9. This is a big game. This is a big game this weekend.
All right, so they can win 9. That means they're only going to lose 3, right?
Yeah, two more.
Okay, so there's only 2 more losses. Okay, hold on.
You said yourself with that question. I think it's a good one. Who has impressed you in the ACC so far?
No, the ACC is not very good, but I still don't know if they get 9.
Well, the answer is Duke. That pretty much settles it.
That sums it up. Now, they play Duke on the road.
Duke's it was a decent loss. They played Northwestern. I think it was on the road.
Well, people may be agreeing with you, Ken. That's why the spreads moved a whole point in 2 days. People are betting on Pitt.
Up to 5.
I just want you to think over the
commercial break. 5.5 for us. It's down to 4.5.
Who are the 2 losses then, Ken? Notre Dame, who's number 6 in the country. Would you say that's a loss?
That's probably, yeah.
On the road at Notre
probably
Dame.
Back-to-back. No, they're at home for Notre Dame.
Oh, sorry, they're at home for Notre Dame. My bad. Yes, right there.
That's a tough game.
That's November the 7th. All right, so.
And Miami will be tough, as always is. I mean.
So they are going to win at Duke, win at Georgia Tech, and beat Louisville?
Well, I thought you're Syracuse. Where's Syracuse? You're putting that as a win for Pitt?
Pitt's better than Syracuse. They're going to win at Virginia Tech in the rain, at Georgia Tech, at Duke. They're going to win 3 of those games.
Two of those 3.
2 of those 3, and they're going to beat Louisville at home and Miami at home then.
That's my scenario. 9 wins.
Okay, so you've got them winning the last 2 games. I want to get you on the record on this now so you don't massage it.
I'll bet
it
you
later.
$100 steak dinner.
They're going to win 9?
No, against him.
Okay,
against
him. Yeah, I'll do the Rob Rossi $100 steak dinner or 4 trips to Outback.
How about 1 trip to Outback? I don't make as much as Cabali or Rossi for that matter.
You don't need as much either. Yeah, we can't have a
steakhouse
steak bet.
What the hell? Yeah, jeez. Let's go to Giovanni's Pizza. That's where we're going next. The Four Horsemen Hour is next. We pick pork, we talk Steelers and Ravens, break it down from all angles coming up.